Well, happy Monday to you and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Dean Folks. I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint and I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. And this past weekend, we continued in our series called Beyond the Shallows. And the thing that we love so much about Simon Peter is he's just not willing to settle for, this kind of shallow version of Christianity. He's kind of an all-in kind of guy. So he follows Jesus passionately, not perfectly. And man, was that highlighted this past weekend as we talked about the restoration by the lake and the three times that Simon Peter really denies Christ. And really the thing that we emphasized at Lewis Center is that failure just isn't final. That in the failures of our lives, when our faith is tested and when it kind of collapses like Simon Peter's did, God is kind of wringing the arrogance out of us like wringing out a washcloth. In his kindness, he comes to us, he moves to us in our failures, because really we're all two people. You know, it's kind of like what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 7, in my inmost self, I delight in the Lord. But then he later says, but I also see in my members all sorts of selfishness. So really what he was saying is that, you know, in the downtown part of my soul, I really want to serve and love God. But out in the suburbs, there's all kinds of selfishness. And God is just wringing that selfishness out of us. And so Jesus predicts to Simon Peter, he's like, look, you know, you're going to fail. And of course, Simon Peter says, no, I'm not. But Jesus, even in the prediction, says, but look, but when you've turned again, Jesus knew his repentance, knew his heart. And he says, when you repent, I want you to strengthen your brothers. And I love it that Simon Peter says, even if they all, looking at the other disciples, even if they all fall away, I will never fall away. He's kind of saying, you know, look, Jesus, I love you more than these other bums do. So that's never going to happen when it comes to me. And in fact, you know, it does. And so when Jesus restores Simon Peter, you know, by the lake, really he recreates the whole scene. He recreates the whole charcoal fire. He recreates the whole, you know, he asks him three times, one for every denial, brings him right back around in a setting among a group. I mean, everything he recreates, it just, not really to stick the knife in Simon Peter's back, but as much as to help Simon Peter know who he really is. You know, the reason I think the text says that Simon Peter went out and wept bitterly is because really, we're not really a whole lot more than our promises. Our ability to hold to our word, to limit our options, to turn away from our selfish desires for something that's better, or even best, to hold to a course of action. If we can't do that, we really don't know who we are. And, you know, in Simon Peter's case, in Matthew's text, you know, he's got to be wondering, is he the Simon Peter of, you know, verse 33 of chapter 26, who said, no way will I deny you? Or is he the Simon Peter of, you know, verse 75 of chapter 26, where he said, I do not know the man, in his denials? I remember being in high school in my English class, and we studied a Man for All Seasons, which is the story about Thomas More. And when Moore was being prepared to be burned at the stake, his daughter said, can't you just go back on your word? And he responds, he says, you know, when a man makes an oath, he's really holding himself in his hands like water. And if he opens his fingers, he needn't hope to find himself again. And that night, when his best friend needed him the most, Simon Peter opened his hands and he lost himself. But intentionally, when Jesus speaks to the women at the tomb, he says, go tell the disciples and Peter to meet me in Galilee. So it's just a good reminder to us, first of all, that Jesus promised to judge. You know, whenever he tells Simon Peter what's going to happen, or what's just really happened via the restoration at the lake, and he starts telling Peter about his future, he says, well, what about John? And Jesus says, what is that to you? Jesus promised that he is a righteous judge, that we can trust him and that we must trust him. And then three times he tells Simon Peter to feed my sheep, tend my lambs, you know. And so he promised to judge, and then he called us to love, that this season that we're in right now is the perfect moment, perfect time, perfect opportunity to love, to care, to step into these discussions in our culture where there are huge gaps because people are polarized, and to be light and salt. And I'm praying God will help us do that. So I'm going to pray, and then I'll give you the opportunity. I'm going to pray. God, I do pray that you'll remind us today that failure is not final, that you're looking not for perfect Christians, we'll never be that, but ones that follow you passionately, that love you deeply, that God put you first in all things. And so, God, I pray that you'll help us to grow into that, that what Simon Peter wrote late in his life in his epistle, that the tested genuineness of our faith will become gold. God, we believe that. We believe that in our successes and in our failures, that you are turning us into gold, and we are grateful. God, so will you do that today? Will you use us in our appointments? There are ones on our calendars that maybe we know are going to be difficult today. There are moments that are not going to be easy. There are moments that are probably going to be great, Lord, and all that. Lord, we just want to help do whatever we can to be salt and light, to push back the darkness, and to grow your kingdom. Now you take the opportunity to pray.